And thank you for everyone in service. I really must say, I haven't seen that before. I really like those 12 suggestions you put on the screen now. That's really cool. I've been in a rush getting here, so I'm just sort of arriving, centering myself. Now I've gone blank. Anyway, I prayed to my higher power before, just before the share, as I always do. So I'm hoping, it'd be my higher power that comes through here, higher power's words, and that I get out of the way. Because I see this, my share as being primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict that still suffers. So I hope it goes in some way to that and a message gets to someone here. Big, big welcome to anyone. Well, big welcome to everyone, but a big welcome as well to people maybe who are newcomers or in their early days. I see a Freedom House down there, which I imagine might be a treatment place. Big, big welcome to you, to NA. To Narcotics Anonymous. I don't think I've ever done a illness share before, so it's kind of feels kind of strange. Oh, I can get to talk about my illness primarily. Of course, I have the illness of addiction without a doubt. I am an addict, so I have that, and I also have bipolar disorder. So, to me, they go hand in hand. I can't separate them. They're great bedfellows. And I think kind of where I feel like I'm going to pitch my share is kind of how I came into Narcotics Anonymous. This was pre-diagnosis, so I didn't know I had bipolar. Now, obviously, I can look back and see I've had it all my life, particularly as from a teenager. But, I got very, very ill. I mean, I've been ill all my life, but I got very, very ill from the age of about 50 onwards. I'm 58 now, just turned 58. And well, just to say my clean time, just to give you some context, is 25th August 2000. So I don't know what that is, 4.5 years or so. So I was in NA a couple of years before I got clean. I just wasn't doing that. I just didn't get it. I wasn't surrendered. I have no idea what I was doing. I was very, very sick. I was obviously in these bipolar cycles. So when I was kind of in my up phase, I'd go to a meeting every night and then I'd disappear for 10 days or so, my down phase. And I was in therapy. So I kind of felt like I didn't really surrender. I just had one foot in NA and I didn't, it was almost like a stopgap. It was almost like, well, if nothing else works, maybe there's that. But I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it could work. I wasn't really engaged. And I was really underneath it all for fear. I was terrified. And I was terrified of even admitting I was an addict. I would say the words, I'm an addict, but I didn't really kind of in some way believe it, or I didn't want to believe it. And my attitude, I know that was my disease now, but my attitude was very much like, I shouldn't have to do this. I've done therapy. This is the text in my head. I've traveled the world. I've lived in communities. Da 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 da. Sure, it felt to me like as if I'd be starting all over again. It felt horrific, and I just couldn't entertain that idea. But it's like a lot of us. I wouldn't want to go for this experience again. But for me, like a lot of us, I grow through pain. And I can really see now why it says, the gift of desperation, rock bottom. That's where I had to go. I was my doctor, my GP, everyone around me was telling me my it wasn't drug of choice, but this is what brought me to my knees was tranquilizers, prescription drugs. It's another reason why my higher power, not my higher power, my addiction tried to distance me and say I wasn't an addict because it's prescribed, all that stuff. I think when I first came to NA, it was actually just reading about the little old lady that hit, went to different GPs getting prescriptions that was allowed me to feel like, oh, just maybe I'm a member, maybe that's me, because that was really described me. I hadn't done heroin, I hadn't done all those other things, but I can certainly say I've been an addict all my life in various guises. And of course, like all of us, when I first took that tranquilizer, calmed down. I thought, my God, this is the solution. This is heaven. This is it. You know, I can cope. I can do my life. Da 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 da. And of course, it rapidly as it does, got into that became my life. That's all I thought about was the next hit, the next tranquilizer, the next, going to different doctors and yeah, all that stuff, trying to get more. It was never enough. There's one time I had a stock from being overprescribed these things, maybe 100 or more of these things. And I remember thinking it's never enough. And when I first came to know that reading in it, one is too many, a thousand never enough, that really was one of the readings, one of the sayings. I thought, my God, someone understands me. So that's exactly how I felt. It wouldn't matter if I had 2,000 of those pills or any drugs sitting there, it would not be enough. It would be, what if I run out? So I'd done many overdoses, many suicide attempts, and nearly wasn't here a few times. But finally, I was getting clean, so-called clean, getting off tranquilizers, because not for me, but because everyone else was telling me, my doctor, that everyone was saying that's the problem. Just gets off them, he'll be all right. And I was terror absolute. I remember feeling absolutely terrified because I knew there was something in me, just knew this was not right. There's something wrong. This, but I just took it as being NA as being, well, okay, I'll just do this and it'll all be fine. My higher power magically make it all better. But I didn't believe it and I was terrified. And as I got off these things, I got sicker and sicker, obviously, because the bipolar was there, which I didn't know about. And I got more and more depressed. And so it led to another suicide attempt, and it was really, this one was really bad. They were all bad, but this one was 2 weeks in intensive care. And from what my wife said, I was comatose for a long time. I think it was an hour away from death. And but when I came round, you know what? This is the insanity of the disease. My first thoughts were not my family, not what I've done. My first thought was the terror of looking in that drip and saying to the nurse, there is tranquilizers in there. No, that's all I could think about. There's the insanity of this disease, the desperation of it. So anyway, I survived, miraculously. I kind of feel like maybe I had some kind of near-death experience, but I kind of really felt it was my last call. I really felt my higher powers giving me my last attempt, my last call. That's how it felt. And I think I needed to feel that because I crawled. It took me about another 6 months to get back into meetings because I was so ill. I couldn't really walk much. I couldn't function much. I shouldn't write my rights be here, to be fair, to be honest. Anyway, I crawled back into the meetings. And my therapist at that time, she abandoned, well, I felt abandoned, but she did me a favor, actually, because by leaving, saying she couldn't see me anymore, there was no plan B. It was NA, that was it. I either do this or I'm going to die. It was as stark as that. So when I came back, I guess not knowing it now, I fully surrendered. I finally surrendered. I'd finally given up. I'd finally said, I don't know. I have no idea what to do now. And I finally was enough openness in me to listen to what people were doing and what was being said and to not know. Maybe that's just what came to me actually, to finally not bloody know. Instead of a lifetime of thinking I know, thinking I'm in control, living in my head. So I started to do the work and then miracles started to happen. One of those miracles was my sponsor, who I didn't really feel I picked, and but my higher power picked, and it's been a very wonderful sponsor who's also got illnesses and issues around illness, which I had no idea of. So what led me to him? My higher power. But I think what I want to share here is around the illness. And one of my first massive miracles was actually getting diagnosed with bipolar, which was totally through the rooms. Let's just add in there, it was also COVID. So all the meetings shut down overnight and I wasn't clean and I was trying to get clean. So of course my lovely addiction head said, you're fucked. What higher power is there? It felt like that, but that was another miracle to see the way this beautiful fellowship suddenly rallied around and all these meetings started popping up online. I got fully involved in a meeting, online meeting in the morning, which is one of my home groups. And people from around the world got to see me come in, which obviously was when I was manic, 100 miles an hour, duh, 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 then vanish because my cycles were about 10 days. I vanished for 10 days. And, and then I'd relapse and I was trying to get clean. And of course, what was happening was I was doing all the suggested things. I was getting clean. I was taking on service. I was tending it and I was getting sicker and sicker. It really wasn't working for me, or that's how it felt. I was terrified because it was like, this is the plan B and it's not working. What if this doesn't work? I have nothing left. I know not what to do other than die. And this, and the miracle was, as we do in this, as I know we do in this, in NA, someone, would you believe, in Australia, reached out to me from the outside of the world and said, "Do you know what? Seeing you, I don't know. I've got bipolar. I have this feeling, wondering if you've got that." And initially, it terrified me because I'd had so many awful experiences with psychiatrists, and I had no idea where to go with that. But I was desperate enough. There it was again, the rock bottom, to do something. And then this was my higher power. I have no doubt about that. It's whispered in my ear when I was thinking, I don't know, where do I go for a psychiatrist? Where can I see someone? Plus, it was COVID. And my higher power, it's in your phone book. It's like, what? And then it came to me that about 2 years earlier, when I first started going into the rooms, someone obviously probably saw bipolar in me or saw something in there about me because they had bipolar and shared this phone number of a psychiatrist. If you ever want to get some help, medication review, whatever. I was terrified, so I stuck it in my phone, forgot all about it. And 2 years later, that was the number. That was the number I used. I phoned up this woman. Miraculously, she happened to pick up the phone, which wouldn't normally happen. We had a chat and a tell straight away she knew what was going on. Anyway, cut a long story short, I saw her via Zoom and I got diagnosed and I started treatment. And I was, it to me, that was like the jigsaw pieces coming together. Suddenly all things kind of made sense of my life. My dad had committed suicide, so now I'm pretty sure he had bipolar. Granddad had it, was diagnosed in his 80s. It all suddenly fell into place. And I think the experience I had, and I see that with other addicts and mental health issues, is once I'd actually got the treatment and the medication, then I could do recovery. Then I could start fully engaging in my recovery. Before that, I was getting sicker. I couldn't engage. The depression was too awful. It just wasn't working. But then I could engage, and that's what I've been doing ever since, day in, day out. It's working the program, So I kind of want to share that because it's just so, like, to me, there was my one of the many miracles I've had in NA, which just gives me more and more comfort and evidence. There'll never be enough evidence for my addict, by the way, but for me, there's enough evidence in there for me to see I do have a loving, caring, higher power that works in those ways. And I can see I have to take the action. My higher power whispered in my ear with that psychiatrist's number, but I had to pick the phone up, try and get through my fear and talk to someone and go with it, So it's that action handing over, isn't it? So yeah, now and then it all fell into place. And just want to say, actually, the steps, not so long ago, I finished step four, step five, and the shame that I was only looking back now, I can see that's lifted off my shoulders because the biggest resentments I had was with myself and was shame of the suicide attempts. How could I do that when that had affected my whole life? My dad committing suicide. Maybe I mentioned that, but yeah, my dad committed suicide when I was 23, and it affected my whole life. And it was the shame of seeing that I was doing the same thing, absolutely the same thing. It was hell, it was, to my children, because it was like that shame of thinking I'm going to leave my kids, got four children. The same awful way I was left. It was just like repeating itself, generational trauma repeating itself. And this shame from the work in that step four, five, not all gone, but I wouldn't have been able to share it in a meeting like I'm doing now. I came in, I couldn't even pick my head up off the floor to look people in the eyes. To me, that was the biggest awful secret and shame that I carried. And It doesn't feel like that anymore. It doesn't have that power. To me, that is an absolute miracle for working this program. And I can see now through my life, that from what I've read about bipolar, it starts as a teenager, and I can remember it coming in as a teenager. I remember my first suicide attempt, although it wasn't very serious, but it was there through depression. And I remember all the things that led from that, the masks, and of course the addiction. I think for me, my addiction, as I see with many other addicts, was really self-medicating. It was trying in some way to cope with this crazy head that I had, and how awful I felt trying to do life and not really feeling I could do life. I couldn't understand how other people could do life, And so yeah, the self-medicating. And that's not just for me for drugs. It started actually through work, workaholic, then alcohol, drugs, codependency, and all those ways in which addiction can manifest itself and can still do that for me, and just to watch that continuously. And for me, the only things I've uncovered really is those core beliefs I have in me that I'm no good. I'm defective in some way. The hole in the soul, the feelings of failure, different isolation, separation. For me, the addiction and the bipolar just fed so nicely into that, so nicely into the there's something wrong with me, because that's how I felt. I would have good careers, couldn't, I'd have to stop my work. I couldn't do it anymore. I got so sick, too much stress obviously would affect the bipolar. Then would affect the addiction and trying to cope with it. And I just used to look at other people and think, my God, how can they do life? How can they be out there getting married and having careers? And I used to see people who'd never got sick at work, and yet every 10 days I'd be getting sick, It, and the masks, I felt so ugly. That's how it manifested in me, especially when I was younger. So I never felt I could get close to people, I never felt I could have a relationship. Because I always felt they're going to see, at some point soon, they're going to see how nutty I am and how ill I am and how I really feel about myself beyond that very frail mask. I'm sure many people could see right through that mask anyway, but it didn't feel that way to me. So I suppose in some ways, I can see more and more that the self-medication was an attempt for me to cope with all that. I guess maybe it's like for a lot of us. But then it gets out of control, doesn't it? And the addiction just takes over. And the two, for me, the bipolar addiction, wonderful bedfellows they are. The other thing is to say the antidote, the solution for me with illness is, and for me with the bipolar, is the medication, absolute life-saving. And I wouldn't be here without that in conjunction with NA. They're the two antidotes for me. The solution for me to having an ill, what was it called? Two diagnoses, multi-diagnoses. Yeah, but for me, I had to get the medication first to stabilize me enough to be able to do recovery. That was my journey. And for me, that illness and recovery booklet, which you put the 12 things up there from, that is a lifesaver for people with illnesses. And let's be honest, we all have illnesses in our life at some point or other. But I've used it many times because I've had other illnesses in recovery and being clean. I've had sciatica, I've got sleep apnea, various other things. But that booklet I always turn to, I've had an operation, all that stuff around medication, watching that fine line as an addict between prescribed medication and abusing it. What's the addiction? And really believe what it says in there, that. Talk to people, talk to my sponsor. I stayed close to my sponsor through those things to just have other people. I need other people's input to know when I'm going off center. So many other things I could say, of course. I suppose just to end it on, I'm still angry with my parents, but it's the compassion and empathy I now have to see that they were just messed up small children themselves. They were addicts themselves. And hopefully, and I feel that's happening through the beauty of this fellowship of NA, and stop some of that generational trauma going down onto my children. And I'm really, really grateful. NA saved my life. Absolutely, 100%. I wouldn't be here without this fellowship. And that, you know, it says about the promise that we can stop taking drugs, lose the desire, and find a new way to live. I think that's where I'm in, the finding the new way to live. You know, that the gifts I've got from this program, that I have a life worth living now. I have friends, I have fellowship, I have people to support all around the world. You know, it's just now as I'm talking about it, it's gobsmacking. I can't quite believe it, really. It's like, where does that, how did that happen? Small space of time, you know? And I know it's not just for me, you know, I see people come into the rooms, newcomers. If they stick around, they keep coming back. The light starts to come on, a little flicker in their eyes, just as I guess it must have happened to me too. Well, it did happen to me. But yeah, illness in recovery. I am in recovery. I am recovering. I will never be recovered from bipolar or addiction. And I guess it's about managing it, you know. I was looking not so long ago about, you know, I've only just started to really even look into bipolar, read a bit more about it. I guess I was too fearful to even do that. And it looked at mental health, you know, all the things they say is mental health to help you know, have a structure, have, you know, don't get isolated, socialize. Can't think of many of the others, but there. And when I looked at all that, I thought, my God, and you know, do service, all that stuff, do voluntary job, you know, all the safe stuff they say for mental health. NA ticks it for me. Oh, yeah, I get that. I get that. I get that. So for me, it's like, it's just all here, isn't it? NA. And it's a spiritual program. And I've looked all my life. I think I've been looking for my higher power all my life without even knowing it, looking for a community, but looking for it outside of myself. Now I know it's about inside. And NA is a beautiful spiritual program that I can do in ordinary life with children, you know, without having to sit in a cave, you know, meditate for the rest of my life, isolating myself in that way. I think I'm drying up now, so I'm coming up to my time, aren't I? Yeah.
Thank you,
I
Michael.
suppose I can just say the thing is that just keep coming back. That's what helps me, just keep coming back. 90 meetings in 19 days helped me a lot. And just get in the center of the lifeboat, whatever way you can, do the suggested things. You know, they're there for a reason because they work. Anyway, thank you. That's enough from me. Thank you for inviting me, Helene. Really appreciate that. And I hope someone may have got something from the share. And, you know, if they didn't, it's okay. There's plenty of other meetings out there, but blessings to everyone. Thank you.